kind, gentle creatures that can only hurt one another by accident. He says, then there are wolves. The wolves will feed on the sheep. They're the sociopaths. They're the criminals. He says, and then there are sheepdogs. The sheep are a little leery of the sheepdog. He wanders around, checks the perimeter every night, and barks at the moon. He would never turn his teeth on the flock, but he yearns for a righteous battle. When the wolf comes around, nothing else will do, and the entire flock is sitting there trying to hide behind one lonely sheepdog as he faces down the wolves. We're talking about a creature who is capable of confronting and dealing with combat and sustaining themselves across the long haul. The goal becomes to be a sheepdog, to be a warrior, to be the one that is ready to respond to the threats when the time arises.
And good morning. Welcome to Blue Justice. This is your host, Amanda, this morning. And I don't have a lot of material today, so I've got David Shalas to come save me. Good morning, David.
Good morning. And yes, I'm in halfway good spirits. I'm about halfway through my first cup of coffee.
Awesome. And I want to talk about this thing I just found on the internet, I guess. There's news reports, news agencies reporting that an ISIS group has released, through an app, some hackers have released names and addresses of law enforcement officers in Minnesota with the message, wanted to be killed. It's both active and retired officers listed on this list.
Yeah, I saw that. It's really disturbing. But, you know, too, it told me that, you know, these so-called ISIS people, they're a cell of virtually American citizens that are comprising that list. It's not, you know, it's not Habib at the corner camel store over and, you know, across the way playing in the dirt. This is your homegrown American-born citizen that has fell over to that side. That's scarier than having somebody who plays in the sand all day coming over here and starting shit.
Yeah, it's pretty alarming to see this happening in America. On that note, really quick, the FBI is investigating. The local agencies are investigating. They said this is not the first time this has happened. And so it's not like you need to take every threat seriously, but it's not the first time that this has happened either. They pointed back to, I can't remember the time and location. I'll have to get that in a little bit, but they pointed back to another time, I believe, in the same type of community in the same area of Minnesota that this has happened. So, and that these kind of threats have been released. The basic point is to always, I don't care where you are in America, always keep your head on a swivel. Always pay attention because this is scary. It's alarming. It's not even necessarily these 36 officers. You, no matter who you are and where you are, you don't know who is watching and who has placed a target on your back.
Everybody's a potential target.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, whether
and with what, go ahead.
A direct target or not, you might be in the crosshairs, but you've just become a target to eliminate because you're in front of them. So they've got to get rid of you to get to where they want.
Yes. It says here's that other statement. The group has also recently targeted New Jersey Transit Police. So again, everybody's a target. You don't know. I don't even know. This was found on an app somewhere, somehow. But so everybody is a target. Everybody. And with the shootings going on, I mean, it blows my mind that it seems like, I mean, I'm at the point where, like, I want to bawl. Every time I get a notification that there's a post in our group, it's another officer has been shot. Thankfully, it looks like, you know, the three in Chicago are going to survive. The one in Texas, I think. There was two yesterday, Arkansas and Texas. And I think the one in Texas
has an update
that he's critical but expected to survive.
There was one in Texas that was just recent, too. He was a motorcycle officer. And just in the course of his duties directing traffic, there we go again, not paying attention, people paying attention to their goddamn cell phones and whatnot, just took him out.
Yeah.
Well, it was Officer Ortiz.
That sounds okay. I don't know the names. We had another officer by a very similar name in California a while back. It's been a couple months now. He was shot. I do know the details of that, but we don't have to go into it. So I'm alarmed by this. I'm very alarmed by this. And what's really scary, I think, is that you do know what's going on here. You don't know what's going on that we haven't found yet, or that somebody hasn't come across, or that the FBI hasn't had picked up the chatter on. You know, it's disturbing to think that this kind of stuff goes on every day and you don't realize, people don't realize. So you could be conducting
a
traffic stop, anything. Go ahead.
There's a lot of stuff the government will not tell you on a day-to-day basis, because if every government body told you every little crisis that was going on, this whole United States it would literally be in a panic.
Yes.
It's on a need-to-know basis. Granted, when your life's in danger and it may affect your area, yeah, everybody feels they have a right to know. Sure. But are you capable of handling the information or the intelligence that you're going to be given and, you know, dispense it amongst your peers with a sense of level-headedness? Probably not. Everybody's going to be bunkered down, hunkered down, and, you know, grandma, get your gun. Well, that's, you know, let's not overreact. Just be diligent. Keep your eyes open and watch what's going on. And then take action as necessary. But
absolutely.
And overreact.
Yeah, that's that brings, you know, up a really good point, you and I having this conversation, because civilians are not law enforcement officers. Civilians are not trained to do this kind of thing. So grandma, get your gun is not exactly the best idea. Enforcement deals with things like these on a day-to-day basis, and they run towards the gunfire. And that, I think, the importance of explaining that, or the importance of people recognizing that, is two completely different kind of people. If you run towards the gunfire, you are in a completely different realm of person than those who run for cover. And so, and they're trained to do that, and they have the balls to do that, I guess is the way to put it. I don't know how else to say it, but...
Well, I wouldn't say America doesn't have the balls to do it, but, yeah, like you say, you don't go running into a situation you're not trained to handle.
Right.
If the people trained to no longer do it, and they rely on the American public to stand up and fight alongside them, they'll tell you. Other than that, step back, watch the show.
And let them do their job. Let them do their job, yes, because the thing is, civilians tend to think, I know there's a lot of, you know, for lack of a better word, Rambo people out there. Go ahead.
We got a lot of them. I mean, they're on every street corner and everything else. Everybody wants to be able to save the world. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm a hero. Well, it doesn't work like that. It only works like that in cartoons and in storybooks.
Right. So, and you're further going to complicate the situation if grandma grabs the gun because she thinks that there's something going on that can be handled. You know, we saw a perfect example of that in Pryor, Oklahoma, a couple of weeks ago. Well, it's probably been a few weeks now, but some guy grabbed his gun. Some teenagers were it was New Year's Eve. Teenagers were knocking on his door, and he shot somebody in the back who was leaving his property. You're not trained to do these kind of things, so let law enforcement do their job.
Luckily, that outlived. so everybody knows that child survived his injuries, his wounds. And like Amanda says, you're not trained, you know, don't go out there. And that's why you've got a telephone. Call 911. If you can sit there and play on your phone for every other god-awful thing, pick it up and dial three little numbers.
Yes. David, take over for, like, a couple of minutes. I got to deal with something.
I mean, one thing to remember, you know, there's hostile situations that take place everywhere, whether they be foreign or domestic. And when they come to our shores as well, you know, there's a way to do things and there's a way not to do it, okay? The bottom line is call your law enforcement agency. Let them deal with the matter at hand. Let them investigate it. Let's see if there's any validity to it. And they'll let you know. Don't go out there, you know, trying to string somebody up. This isn't the old Wild West. I mean, I'd like to think that we've grown as a society to be civil and handle things in a manner that don't include violence. And obviously, I mean, we've seen in past months, days, hours, how our public can react without thinking. Okay? BLM thinks, they think, they can't think beyond the tip of their nose, so they think with violence. Okay? They act with violence. All right? Is that the something that, you know, if you have small children, is that something you want to teach them? Absolutely not. You want to have some good, calm core values in your children. They grow up to be productive and respected individuals. You don't want your family members to be remembered as somebody who is an outrageous nutball, okay? Use your heads, people. In fact, you know, people that, I'm sure it's going to offend some people, but get your heads out of your ass and look at what real life is dealing you, all right? There's a right way to handle things. Okay, just going out there and thinking you're a militia, you're not. If anything, you're going to get killed. All right? You don't have the training, the backing, whatever. You know, and don't listen to one person who might have military training or that style of training. They're going to get you killed. It's going to be leading the lambs to slaughter. Let law enforcement do their job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember that you as a civilian are not trained to do law enforcement jobs. That is just, I mean, we teach that all the time in CCL class. You are not law enforcement just because you have your license to carry your, a little bit of training from, like you said, a military personnel. That doesn't make you, if you're a civilian, you are a civilian, period, end of statement.
I'm going to give a good example. Happened to me a few days back. Now, I'm on my way to the grocery store. I have my kids in the back seat. Now, I'm taking some of the back roads to get there. Well, I come across very slowly. I see red and blue lights, and I see a red Ford Ranger pulled over. Okay? As I'm driving past very slowly, I see a trooper. Apparently, he pulled this guy over. God knows for what, and especially on a side street. They're usually on the highway. So that ultimately told me this guy had apparently tried to get away from him at some point, got him pulled over. But the individual that he had pulled over, I could see he was given a field sobriety test too as well. But he was slightly larger than the trooper. So I parked about a half a block away so that my children weren't in danger. I got out of the car, and I watched from a distance. Even though I'm trained to do this, okay, I'm just not doing it anymore as a living, but that, needless to say, you know, you step back, I don't want to put my children at harm, so I'm pulled away far enough that nothing's going to happen to them, but I watched. He saw me. He saw me standing there. All I did was make a nod, a gesture to let him know that I was there. Once he had the individual handcuffed and put in his car, then I proceeded over to explain myself to him. And I'll tell you what, that made him one happy man. He was happy knowing that he had somebody there that had his back just in case this suspect decided he wanted to overtake him. So, you know, I could have been up closer, providing I didn't have anybody in the car with me. But being that I had other innocents in a car with me, I'm not going to put them in danger. That's called using your head. Stay back, keep the people you're with safe, but you can also do your part.
Yeah, I like that advice. We've talked about that before. I really like that, and I like that you put it into motion, that you actually did it, and then can talk about that too. I really appreciate the fact that after he had the suspect in his car, you know, secured, then you approached him and said, hey, this is what I'm here for. I'm not a creep rubbernecking, you know, and I'm not a bad guy trying to catch you off guard. This is what I was here for. I got your back. The more that law enforcement knows we have their back in the community, not on Facebook. I preach this all the time. Anybody can click a like button. Anybody can click a share button. You've got to get in your community and actually let your law enforcement know that if you are around, they have an extra set of eyes. You've got morale has got to be at it. I can't even imagine how low it is. I saw something, NYPD morale is really low just a couple days ago. It's like the lowest it's ever been. They have no faith in their government officials. They have no faith in their union. They have, I mean, it is, and that's just in New York.
Deal with an asshole mayor that they've got to deal with, you'd feel pretty down in the dumps too. He's a total.
Oh, absolutely.
I've seen a lot
absolutely.
Of politics, a lot of states, but that guy, I mean, he's got his head so far up his ass, he doesn't even know what he's smelling. He don't even know what he's dishing out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't imagine working under somebody who, you know, who just has no regard. I can't imagine a public electing someone with no regard for law enforcement, especially a direct who is directly over law enforcement. But I say that on the same token, hello, we have Obama who gives no shits about law enforcement, who brings Black Lives Matter to the White House. I mean, so I say that, but we've known it, we've dealt with it for years. It's just getting worse, and if we don't take to the streets and show our support, even if you just mail a letter, something, a physical show of support, because Facebook is not, it's a good avenue to use, but it's not the only avenue. It cannot be the only avenue. Anybody can click like. These guys are really out there risking their lives every day, and we're clicking like on a Facebook post.
I've noticed one thing, Amanda. It's becoming to the point where people rely on social media in order to interact with one another. And their people are not getting out and meeting people anymore. Not like when I grew up. There was no such thing as the internet, okay? You had to physically go outdoors and actually meet people. Either if you didn't, you were considered a shut-in, all right? Now, everybody, if you're not a shut-in, now you're the minority because you want to go out and meet people. But there's nobody out there to meet because everybody's got their eyes glued to their phones or they've got them glued to a computer screen. Get off your ass and go out and meet people. See what they're about. See who they are. Mm-hmm. Shake their hand. Or scream in their face if you have to.
And show your law enforcement that they are worth your time, because clicking like on a Facebook post takes a half a second. Go and physically show them, meet them, like you said, shake their hand, introduce yourself. Let them know that you actually support them enough to give your time to them, even if it's just the 5 seconds it takes to say thank you for what you do. Show them that you are out there, because, you know, my news feed is flooded with pro-police stuff. But if I were an officer, an active duty officer, that's cool. Congratulations. Everybody is sharing, you know, stuff. I want to see the pictures. I want to see, and this brings me to something else I did want to talk about today. Lesma has a lot of stuff going on. We're trying to get people active in their communities. I want to see those pictures. There's a post up, a contest, and I'm going to give a T-shirt away to anybody to the most liked picture of showing law enforcement support, the most.
Well, I'll put that out there as a challenge, too.
In your community.
Right now, as it stands, there's only a few pictures up there, and a majority of them are mine. And I want somebody to blow me out of the water. Come on.
Yeah, absolutely. Get your butt off your couch and go and show support and take pictures, because the actual physical support is what matters. Time, oh, there's a song out. Can't think of what it's called. It's a Miranda Lambert song, and it's about time. Like, you actually take your time for the things you care about. So donate a little bit of your time. Take some pictures. You're not being egotistical. You're not being vain. You are showing the rest of the world, hey, I care enough to actually get out there and stand up and do something and say and tell them face-to-face that I support them and take pictures and post them on our threads. That's what Lesma is about. On that note, we have another challenge going on that David put up this morning, which, by the way, he's in an interview right now. A media interview. We'll talk about that. I'll let him share the information when it comes out, but he's actually meeting with the press right now. So that's why he's not here today. And he put a post up this morning, a challenge for a new logo. If you can, whoever can create the best logo, email it to him. Lesma gets to vote on it, and it's a $250 gift card, I believe, is what the reward is for whoever gets the best logo.
Well, I'll help find
awesome.
One of it, and if I'm lucky enough to win, the money will just stay within Lesma.
That would be awesome. That would be awesome. We're looking for a new logo. We're looking for people who can design. We're always looking for talent within Lesma. If you have a hidden talent, or if you have a talent that you're not boasting about in our group, we don't know about it. So let us know. And if you want to help Lesma, you want to contribute to what we do, there's a very small team of us. There's what, 5-6 of us all together that really spearhead all of this. And we only have so much talent amongst each other, but there's between the 17,000 members, there's a plethora of talent that we don't know is out there. We can't tap into because we have no idea it exists. So if you have a talent and you want to contribute to Lesma, please do. Please do. Let us know. Let us know what you can offer, and we will absolutely utilize it. We would love to have more on our team.
Yeah. Don't be discouraged if we don't jump on an idea you have right away. Maybe that just doesn't fit at that particular time, but that doesn't mean we might not utilize you at a later date. Do not be discouraged. Step forward. Let's see what your talents are. And we'll find the best place to put you.
Absolutely. That way, absolutely.
On your talents, on your strengths.
Yes.
Just
and we will keep a running list. I actually do have a few things. You know, I've had a couple of people that are writers that have offered, and they have promised to make themselves available to me anytime I need it. That's awesome. Just anything like that. I know we had someone offer to make a painting one time for Lesma and put it up for auction. And if somebody makes a Lesma painting, I'm just going to say, I'm winning that one. I'm just going to say, that one will be hung up on my wall. I don't even care what it looks like. I'll have the winning bid on that. Just saying.
I might have to come over for dinner and walk out with it.
I don't think so. I don't think so. Not happening. I really would love to have something like that. I love Lesma. I love what we do. And I have a lot of little, I think I have every T-shirt we've printed almost. I have a couple of little, like, trinkets. I have the decals. And I have, so anyway, if it's Lesma related, you can bet your ass that you're going to have competition with Amanda. That's all I'm going to say. If it's an auction, Amanda's going to compete for it for sure. So
okay,
get those paintings out there.
Folks, you've got talents, you know, whatever you submit, you know, we have auctions. It's not about trinkets, this and that. Remember our baseline mission here, you know, that we're here to support our law enforcement. Yeah, we like to have a little bit of fun along the way. It makes for a lighter day, and you can smile and say you did something productive. And it was productive, and it is productive. But let's not lose sight of what our bottom line is. Our bottom line is support your law enforcement 110%. Okay? Give them the backing they need. Give them the support they deserve. you know, the pat on the back, shaking their hand, maybe even just an indiscriminate cup of coffee in passing, whatever it is, show your support.
Absolutely. And in these times when, like I said, it seems like every time I just, there's a post in the group and I look at it and it's like, oh my God, not again, not again. Oh, we might have a guest caller. David, take over for 1 second.
Yeah, yeah. But remember, folks, you know, we, as Amanda said, she'd like to see the designs, this and that, and if we have auctions and we auction stuff off. But like I was saying, please just keep giving your support. Keep backing your blue like you always do, and I know you are. We've got a great bunch of members within the LESMA ranks. Between all of our groups with America Going Blue, the K9 page, and the regular LESMA page. And we do appreciate each and every one of you. Without you, we would not exist. Remember that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, so listen, we have a caller that I miss so bad. Chuck, hello.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
Good morning.
Oh,
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Sorry I've been on a hiatus for everybody. I was sick for a while, but I'm much better. And with this crazy new time and schedules, it's just been very hard to show up. But I'm here today. I hope everyone's doing well. And I hope David and Amanda and the other David and Tammy are all doing well, because I see you guys on. I try to listen when I can and try to pick up the podcast and try to listen as best I can. And sometimes I catch the end of the show and it's already too late to respond. So glad to hear everybody. Glad everyone's doing well.
Well, we're glad.
So good to have you back on and that you're better. I remember, yeah, you were sick for a while. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, sick for a day or two. You were really sick, and that was horrible to hear. I mean,
yeah,
it took
I had
even
quite
a while to recover.
Yeah, it was a viral pneumonia. It was pretty bad. So, but it's all good now. So,
other than being sick, and David talked about a possible new schedule for you. You know, that you were kind of going through. What has Chuck been up to?
Well, as of late, it's been quite crazy with us. We've had a lot of changes in our department, in the state itself. It's been really crazy. I'm sure you guys have all heard and read what's been going on here at the Department of Corrections with the sentencing guidelines and the sentencing review of offenders being released early and what that has caused. It's quite the mess. It's pretty unbelievable, actually, and looks like they're finally going to lop some heads off they've already done that up in the upper administration for allowing that to go on for 12-plus years.
Wow. So how are all of these changes affecting correctional officers on your level, not administrative level, but on, you know, just the correctional officer level? How's that affecting you guys?
It doesn't, you know, us frontline people that are out in the field doing what we do, it really hasn't affected us, Amanda, to be honest with you, directly, because this is an administrative problem. They were aware of it. They chose not to. Bernie Warner, and yes, I'm going to put his name out there. Bernie Warner is the one that should be held completely accountable for that. He was the Secretary of the Prisons for the Department of Corrections, and he knew about it. He was aware about it. His upper administration staff were very aware of it. But us directing us or affecting us directly, Amanda, it doesn't, because this really relates to people being sentenced, people doing their time, and then being released early when they shouldn't have because of calculation errors in the software instead of being hand calculated. So what happens is what they're doing, and this is, and again, I'm not, by no means am I a hug-a-thug, but they are releasing people, they get out in the community, they get in their jobs, they're back to doing what they need to do, and then one day some guys show up in uniform and snatch them back up and pull them back into the prison system and said, oh, you still owe us 45 days, or oh, you still owe us 8 months, or oops, you still owe us 19 more months, and pull them out of, you know, this progress that they've made. Not that most of them do any progress, because they usually go back doing their dumbass shit. But on this particular thing, it has affected a lot of people. Two people have died that shouldn't have, because they were killed by two offenders that shouldn't have been released. So the state's going to go through a bunch of lawsuits. They're going to have to deal with a lot of different people. And I'm sure this applies to a lot of, across the states, across the United States, that, you know, they have their sentencing, and I'm sure they have their problems just like we do. But it's not been good. It's really put a bad taste. It made us really look stupid. And I blame that, again, on the upper administration. It made us look all very stupid, because we just, to know about it, and then in 2012, it was brought to their attention again, and again, Bernie Warner was in charge, who, by the way, has left the Department of Corrections before all this came out. A couple months before this came out, he left the Department of Corrections to go to a private prison in Utah. So look out, Utah. You got a dirtbag working for you, and he will burn you, just like he did the governor.
He's in it for the mighty buck. He's not into it to prevent people from getting hurt, killed, whatever, and doing the right thing. He's into it for the mighty dollar.
Absolutely. And don't get me wrong. It's always about the dollar. I mean, look what, you know, David says all the time. It follow the money trail. And it's always about the money. I don't care what anybody says. Everybody can talk what they want. But you're absolutely right. It is about that. So what they did was is they ended up hiring. I have my conspiracy thoughts on how this all played out. And we've all discussed it. And there's quite a few people that kind of follow along my lines with this, but they ended up taking a who used to be the deputy secretary, and he was going to retire last year. And all of a sudden, he had his plans to retire, and then all of a sudden, he was asked to be the Secretary of Prisons. And he ended up taking the heat for the entire deal. He ended up taking all the heat for it. He ended up resigning, hoping that the Congress and the senators of the state of Washington would accept his blood, as he put it, as payment for this mistake, when really it was a whole line of mistakes that happened. It's really unfortunate, but now they brought back another retired person. I don't get why they didn't seek out a good candidate from another state and stop that good old boy system, but yet they just pulled another person out of retirement that used to work for, that was a deputy secretary at one point, and now made him secretary. And I think this guy, it's just a ruse until they can find someone. They have to, and the governor's mad, so everybody's pretty upset about it, and it's been crazy. On a different note, beside that, we had quite an incident over this last week at my particular facility, and I'm telling you guys, those gangs, man, they are alive and well, and the system on the streets, it's crazy. It got out of hand. It was a crazy week, I'll tell you. I'm still trying to get it. We're still on lockdown. We're still doing what we need to do, and it was basically a Norteno-Serrano situation, which, not surprising. And there were a lot of talks regarding that. I did learn something that I wasn't aware of that was very interesting, and maybe you guys might find it interesting or not, but we were talking regarding why is it that they allow the Nortenos and Serranos to intermix with inside of a prison system. I've always been a big proponent of separating them so we don't have these type of incidents, which can cause one of us to be killed, an inmate to be killed, which I really don't care, because if they're a gangbanger and they're in there, they're doing their thing, if that's the risk they take. But I only care about us in blue, our brothers and sisters blue. That's all I care about when I say this. So it's amazing to see how they how over time how they will fraction off. So for instance, in the state of California, did this, and we tried to follow this model, but we've completely broken away from it. Was in California, what they tried to do is they tried to make prisons. So this is a Sereno prison here. This is a Norteno prison here. This is a BGB prison here. What they did was is they tried to separate those gangbangers to stop the violence like what we just had. But what they found out over time, what happens is, and it makes complete sense, and I'm glad I spoke to a guy that was a veteran, used to be an INI director, which is Internal Investigations, a very, very smart man. And it made a lot of sense when he gave his insight on this, was that when you do that, yes, does it stop those violence against gang members, against each other and all that? Yes, it does. But here's what happens is, so you got a Norteno prison, a Sereno prison, and within those, each one of those prisons, so you just put them there. So you think, okay, now it's all done. Absolutely not.
You're actually increasing the body of government to that particular organization to make them stronger.
Well, what happens, David, this is what happens. So you're within that system. All of a sudden, you've got, all you have is Norteños. So as time goes, what happens? They start to fraction between each other. So now they start separating lines. Oh, I'm from the 18th Street. Well, I'm from, 12th Street. I'm from this. Hey, didn't you tell me to go F myself about 3 years ago at that other prison? So now they start this inner faction of fighting amongst themselves of who's going to have the most power and what street gang from the Nortenos themselves are going to run that shit. So now they're fighting amongst themselves. And they found over time that happened. So was there a difference in separating them to stop the violence? Initially it did, but over the long term they found that it did not, because now their own people are fighting within their own ranks to gain power. It's crazy. So it's a lose-lose situation. So we tried to, we stopped that model some time ago, and we started integrating them. Now, integrating them within the same unit, is that smart? No. And that's what happened. They were trying to mix them within the unit. And when you get certain individuals that come from other prisons who have their agenda, who show up and take over as a person who drives the car, as they say, or the leader, which is what that means, that drives the car, they end up eventually causing problems for the younger guys, because the younger guys are dumb. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some very smart and intelligent, well-spoken gang members who know how to handle their business and keep it out of our problem and not make it our problem where we get hurt or that becomes that. When you get those guys, you savor them, you hang on to them, and when they usually get released or transferred as they're going somewhere else, you lose that. And then you get these younger guys that don't have that good mentality or the intelligence to run their car properly and not cause a problem. Hence what we had over this last 2 days ago, and it turned into a big, it was just like the video you see, OC's going, use of force is happening, it's just crazy. So it's been quite the dilemma with trying to deal with gangs and members and the population itself and keeping everyone safe. It's a very hard struggle. But we fight because we have a certain way, the frontline staff, the people that are risking their lives every day. And so when I hear administrators say that or upper managers, it makes me laugh because you don't even have contact with these guys most of the time, if at all.
Right.
It's us frontline staff that actually, it's like the patrolmen. They're putting their lives on the line, not the captain that's sitting back up, not that the captain didn't at one point, don't get me wrong, but he's sitting back inside, a nice comfy office, dealing with his bosses, the mayors and the chief and all of that. So, but it kind of makes me laugh when I hear that. It's just sometimes it's very frustrating.
Well, that's a good point you bring up, that you get your brass. As the officer moves up in the ranks, you better remember where you came from, okay? Remember where you came from. Just because now you're wearing a set of bars or a cluster of things on your damn shirt, you better remember that you were on those front lines at one time. And to turn your back on your brothers and sisters just because now you're part of the brass, and you're forgetting all about what it is to do actual police work, to actually get down into the trenches, you better start remembering that, because these are the people that ultimately are going to save your ass.
Yeah, and that's true, and I think we've all dealt with that. I know you did, David. I'm sure, Amanda, you've dealt with bosses like that. I've dealt with them, and I'll be honest with you. Here's what's very, very frustrating. I watch a guy that was a really good sergeant, very approachable, very good. He got that lieutenant bar, went right up into his ass, and became a complete prick. Now, is he a prick to me? No, because I'm very vocal, clearly. You guys know me. I don't give a shit if you're wearing captains. I don't give a shit if you're the superintendent. Don't talk down to me. Don't disrespect me. Don't disrespect the blue, because I will defend that. Just vigilant. I'm there. I'm going to be on top of you over it. But here's the problem: is that if you speak out and you talk about that, they will slap you down, and you know that. I mean, anybody who's had bosses that you worked with that became and got into a position of power, they tend to forget that. And I always try to remind them of that. You know, I'll say things like, remember, guys, all it takes is us. Like, okay, we'll take frontline sergeants who are middle supervisors and lieutenants. I always remind the sergeants, we make your shift good or bad. We can either make it bad for you and make you a bad day or a good day. So remember, you need us as much as we need you. And I remind the lieutenants, remember, the sergeants and all the people that I know that are friends of mine that are sergeants can make your job very difficult or very easy. It's all left up to you. And so when you have those type of lieutenants and captains, I'm not back in the military, so when I say this, I don't have to respect you as a human being or as a man, but I do respect the rank. And that's it. I don't have to respect you. Just like I couldn't stand a lot of my lieutenants when I was in the Army. But I had to do his rank because the rank was deservable, but not the human being as itself.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And I always tried to remember a little rule I was taught even as a young child. You know, you can succeed, and that's a great thing, always to better yourself, move up in the world. But remember, as you're climbing that ladder, everybody that, for every mistake, there's a person that's waiting for you to fall. So it's how you treat people on the way up, because guarantee you, when you're on your way down, they're either going to catch you or they're going to let you hit the ground.
That's correct. That's correct. So that's kind of what's been going on here. You know, it's you know, we got this, what do they call the, it was that, oh, darn it. I just woke up, guys. I ran down here because I didn't want to miss the show, because I promised Amanda I'd be here. And, we got a union that, you know, that, what was it, in Northern California, they had a union where they were trying to make it a right for work state and bust up the union. They ended up winning some case or something like that, and it's starting to begin to happen in California. And now they're up here trying to do that up here, and so we're fighting for that. And I tell you, that is a bad deal for all of us to have to deal with possibly losing a complete union, because without them, man, we're defenseless against the state, because they're brutal. They're extremely brutal towards their employees. So, especially frontline staff, and that goes for Department of Corrections to Department of Transportation to DMV, DSHS. The list just goes on and on. So, but what's been going on with Lesma and Amanda and Tammy and everybody? What's been going on with everybody? What's been happening?
We're just, you know, kicking butt and taking names at Lesma. My kids are on spring break, so I'm muted a lot of the time. I appreciate you being here so much, because, holy crap, my house is noisy. I have 3 rugrats running around, so and they like to pick on the little one, so he screams a lot. I'm like, guys.
Well, you know, in defense of your one little one, I had the pleasure of having one of Amanda's children overnight here with my boys. And I'll tell you what, I was doing the radio. And I'll tell you what, never heard a peep out of any of them.
Don't even go there with me. Don't even go there with me.
Heard
I don't want to hear about it.
That's pretty funny.
That's bad.
Yeah, well, you know, it's the old, if mom's around, everything's open game. You know what I mean? But, oh, when it's a friend, it's like, and then it's a man, they're like, oh, shit, we can't do nothing.
Well, you know, oh, honest to God, though, I tell my husband all the time, he's like, my, you know, our kids are hellions. And I'm going, have you ever seen them in public? They behave like they walk the line in public. And now at home, yeah, when mom's home, it's like, it's never ending. But I think my kids know how to behave when they're not around mom. So I think that's
a good thing.
I can pretty well trust him.
He's a very well-mannered young man because every time I looked around, he was yes, sir, no, sir. And every time he'd say that to me, I'd look behind me looking for my father.
And like, see, and I've never heard that out of my kids. Never. He doesn't say that to me.
It really had me kind of, he had me at a loss for words. Like I said, I'm looking behind me thinking my father was sneaking up on me or some shit.
Wow.
That's
so,
Yeah.
Don't even go there with me.
That in his defense. I mean, he was a very well-mannered young man, and, you know, he enjoyed himself, but he did not act out. So he knows how to handle himself.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's
so funny. Hey, I know this doesn't revolve around law enforcement and LESMA and cops and all this, but man, I don't know why this has popped my head, but last weekend, I'm walking through a grocery store, and I'm listening to this little girl just scream, and now, mind you, she's got two adults there with her, and they're not young adults. They're probably in their 30s, easy. And this child is just, she was screaming and causing and fitting. And no matter where you were in that grocery, you could hear her scream. You could just hear her and she was just doing it to be, and I'm just going to put it, a little fucking brat.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the funny part, and this is why I brought this up, because you talk about kids. So as this kid's going around, she's doing this, man, and I'm looking at her parents, and my wife grabbed my arm because she could see I was going to go over and I was going to say something to their parents. I just had enough of it, man. It was one of those days where I was just ready to dig in the parents' ass and, you know, like, once you give that kid something to fucking cry about and blah, 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 and you're disrupting everyone's shopping, and I was going to go on this tangent. My wife grabs my jacket and says, don't do it, honey. And I said, all right. And so she pulled me back. But here's the funny part. So as I'm standing in line with the groceries and these people, there are people that are my age appropriate in their 40s and 50s, easy. And we're all waiting in line. And here they come, this couple. And as soon as they started coming to kiss our scream, everybody kind of looks, because everybody else was listening to it. And I'm standing in line, and I look, and I said, Jesus, man, that kid just won't shut up. I would take her outside and give her a reason to cry. And I swear on my mom's grave, these two other women said, exactly. Where mm-hmm. were they? We would never do that when we were growing up. And we all laughed because it was so true. If I acted like that out in public, my mom would have taken me outside and beat my ass and gave me a reason to be crying, or worse, man. So it just made it made us all laugh. I mean, after they said that, we all kind of looked at each other and just laughed out loud. It was like, that's crazy, man. How do you allow your children to be so disrespectful in public? Because I know Amanda would never put up that, and I'm sure David would probably never put up that shit. And I can assure you, my kids never acted like that in public, and never. And I remember when the first time they tried to do that shit, man, my wife and I nipped that so quick, so boom. But it was just funny, man. I don't know why I thought of that story. I just did, man. It was just for some reason about the kids.
Right about that, because I never would have made it outside. But my mother would have grabbed me up by the, you know, the scruff of the neck, and I'd have got it right then and there in front of everybody. She wouldn't have waited to take me outside.
That's true. That is true.
You know, so
yeah,
I didn't even have...
Go ahead. I was raised by my grandparents, and same thing, absolutely. I mean, and they didn't hesitate. And last night, I embarrassed myself, actually. I was on a business call, and I thought I muted my phone. My daughter, I'm in my car, and my daughter says, Mom, Trey's spitting on the little one. And I was like, I turned around and I was like, I swear to God, I'll smack you in the mouth if you are. Like, I was so mad. And I thought my phone was muted and it wasn't. And I acted like it didn't happen, but I was like, oh my God, oh my God, they're going to think I'm abusing my kids. But like, that's the most disgusting thing ever. Don't, you know, I swear to God, oh, I will, oh, that's gross.
You know,
and,
you bring up
but you
point.
Have to be careful nowadays.
Oh, that's exactly what I'm about to tell you, is the fact that, you know, people that are not, some of the parents out there are just plain fucking lazy, let's admit it. You know, they don't want to parent their child. But on the flip side of that coin, the laws have changed so dramatically that everybody is fearful of correcting their child, disciplining them, for fear that they'll be arrested for child and child abuse, child endangerment, this, that, and the other. You know, the slightest little move you make, you know, is going to be looked at. And, you know, and I'll give you a good example. My oldest boy, who's in his 30s, you know, when he was 17 years old, he tried to pull that shit on me one time. And he actually said to me, "You do that, all I got to do is call the cops. They'll have you arrested in a minute." I said, "Let me tell you something, son, and this is why I'm holding him off the floor." I said, "I'm going to dial the goddamn phone." And I says, "And you can talk to whoever the fuck you want to talk to, but remember, they've got to find your fucking body."
I remember threatening to call the cops on my grandparents, too. I remember growing up, "You're abusing me," and they're like, "I'm going to show you abuse. You want you to call the cops, I'm going to give you a reason to call the cops." And it's like, yeah, I'll behave. I'm done. I quit. Absolutely. But, you know, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead, Amanda.
Well, I was looking at a story last night, and I think it all ties in with what we're talking about, Chuck. You know, the kids that do get away with whatever they want, they grow up to be vile and disgusting, and it's what's wrong with America. I think it's a big societal problem that we've got. And I was looking at a story last night, and I know we've all heard this story, but there were developments last night. The 9-year-old boy that was executed in Chicago. Did you guys hear about that?
No, I did not. I might. How long ago was it? Was it recently or a while ago?
November. No, November.
Yeah,
in
November, yeah, I remember that.
Okay.
Yep.
His name was Tyshawn Lee, and it's the most despicable, disgusting thing I've ever heard. He was assassinated by rival gang members. Talking about gang members, and these people are disgusting. And I was looking last night because they arrested the shooter yesterday, or announced charges or something. And the father of the 9-year-old boy, the reason that the 9-year-old boy was executed, like the sacrificial lamb, I guess, for a gang war. He went and shot 3 people yesterday when they announced charges. He shot one of the guys' girlfriends and 2 other, I can't remember who they were. But, you know, this child was a victim of his parents' behavior, and it's the most disgusting thing. And one article said, once upon a time, gang members, they had unwritten rules that grandmothers, mothers, and children were off limits, period. You didn't,
right.
you did whatever you wanted to, between amongst each other and against each other, but grandmothers, mothers, and children were off limits. And this vile, disgusting 22-year-old that I would love to have 5 minutes barehanded alone with, I swear, he went to a park, he saw the kid, he knew who the kid belonged to, and lured the kid into an alley and shot him execution style, facing him numerous times, all because of who his father was, and he rapped about it. He confessed to, he was making jokes about it in prison, and they had, you know, the guy had a wire and they got it all recorded. And the DA was making statements, and she said, you know, they had him on record saying Shorty just couldn't take it no more. Like, when the 9-year-old hit the ground, the guy was talking about this 9-year-old, the moment that he shot him, and he was like, because he shot him numerous times, like I said, facing him, and he just said he just couldn't take it no more. He couldn't take it no more. Like, it from the wounds on the 9-year-old, it seems like he didn't die immediately. He had, like, to me, defensive wounds. He had forearm shots. He had a shot in his hand, a shot in his forearm, a shot in the back, and a shot through his temple. So, but it's just, I don't know. I wanted to talk about the thing. It is the reality of the evils that you guys face. And in the correctional world, Chuck, you face these every day. You have to live with these monsters. And I can't imagine, I just can't imagine what, I don't know. I mean, you like to live your life thinking that these people don't exist, but they do. And anybody who will execute a 9-year-old child just because of who his father is, you're pretty bad in my books. You're the lowest of the low, and oof. But that's the kind of, to me, that's the kind of children that you're raising. Whenever you don't take care of a child, you just let them do whatever they want. These are not, though that's the extreme case. Otherwise, you just get the idiots like the asshats in Chicago who protest Trump, but nobody's protesting this 9-year-old kid. Nobody's protesting these rival gang shootings yesterday because charges were announced against the shooter. You know, the dad knew who shot the kid all along. But once charges were pressed, he was like, oh, watch this. I'm going to go retaliate. And he shoots 3 more people. It's wild to even imagine. It's wild.
It's crazy.
I know I went off on a different tangent. I'm sorry.
No, you didn't. That's fine. It's, you know, we deal with the evil within that everybody pretends is not there. Everyone's pretend it's not there. And it's there. And like you said, it starts with the kids. And here's a good example. I just watched a 17-year-old, God, maybe you guys posted it. I can't remember where I saw it. A 17-year-old was shot in someone's house. And apparently this neighborhood, this place had been broken into before, so they put security cameras. This 53-something-year-old or 50-something-year-old female saw, she put cameras in her house and saw that someone was in her house. So she called 911. Apparently she lived fairly close or worked fairly close to where she lived and said, there's someone's in my house. I need police. Well, she beat the cops there. And as the guy was exiting the window, she shot him. She shot them. And here's where things get really fucked up. That really pisses me off is the family of this 17-year-old is standing there, and these are the millennials, and this is where our new kids are so fucked up because these parents who wanted to be their friend instead of a parent and making them obey shit had the gall to sit there and talk about how good he was and how he was going to school and going to technical college and on and on and on. And then you know what they said? Well, she shot him. She should have never shot him. He wasn't even doing anything that bad.
Okay.
What? What? And then turn around and say he lost.
Like,
yeah, they made him
rate.
Lose the potential to make money for our family. What the fuck? Are you kidding me? Get out of here.
Look at the, Maryland, Prince George's County. Department shooting. Did you guys hear about that? Do you guys know the details of that?
Yeah, I kind of caught a little bit of it, but you know,
oh
I,
my God.
I didn't.
Okay, so we were researching. We wanted, we were trying to get information on the people who did it before it all came out. And so I was really digging into this story, and eventually I'm just going to give what the media reported because it's pretty much all I've got. But eventually it came out. Well, first, when I'm researching, there's an aunt and a grandmother saying that their nephews are in custody, and they didn't do this. There's no way they got the wrong people in custody. They got the wrong people. And, of course, they always say that. But to me, when this case broke, when the actual details broke, it was so crazy because it was 3 brothers. It came out, it was 3 brothers, and it was these people, you know, they didn't do nothing crowd. It was 3 brothers, and one of them they shot up the police station, and the other 2 brothers were standing back with cell phones. They were going to make a movie called Suicide by Cop. Wanting to make a movie, and so they're recording on their cell phones, 2 brothers, while the other brother shoots up the department, watches the cops come out, you know, and he's trying to get killed by the cops. Like, who does this? But the aunt and the grandmother, you know, the night before were like, we'll tell you who, because the police department wouldn't release the names of the suspects. And the aunt and the grandmother, they're like, oh, I'll talk to the Washington Times. I'll tell you who it is. It's my nephews and it's my grandsons. And no, they didn't do it. There's no way they did this. There's no way. And then, again, the next day the details break and you're like, what the fuck is going on in America? Who does this? You know, an officer got killed. An officer got killed in that altercation. And the suspect did not. He got shot, but he's going to survive. And I hope they – I can't say on air what I hope they do. But an officer was killed.
I can. I hope they give him a damn hot shot.
I hope they give him a what, David? What did you say?
Hope they give him a good hot shot. And I even think that's probably too humane.
But you've got these adults who come out, go to the media outlet and says, I'll tell you, it's my nephew's in custody and this is who they are and this is bullshit. They didn't do nothing. They got the wrong people in custody. First of all, one of the motherfuckers turned themselves in. Just saying. There was cell phone video of both, you know, there were two cell phone videos and then the third perp got shot. You can't get around. He didn't do bullshit. I'm so, you know, God. This
all ties into just like
what. It drives me insane.
In a lot of these other states, I don't know if you guys are aware that Ferguson finally settled with the Department of Justice on a way they're going to be doing policing there. Their officers are going to have to go through extensive biased awareness training, and they're also going to be implementing a police force to police the police. So, in other words, the police officer is not going to be able to do his job effectively. I mean, the outlines within this Ferguson deal is just unbelievable. The Department of Justice was actually saying that the St. Louis area and all them were it just blatantly going out issuing traffic citations to the blacks to boost the city coffers through their fines. And use the police department as a collections agency. And that is totally untrue. Totally untrue. Just because of Michael Brown. Come on, really? You guys really believe that? now you literally tied the hands of your law enforcement, not only locally, but statewide. Not going to be able to do their jobs effectively. So now, you know, all this jumping up and down on cars and turning them over, which none of those people get arrested for. You've just been given a credit card to create mayhem, and you know you're not going to have to pay the price for it. But the thing is, when it comes down to when they start to destroy your property and you want everybody arrested, the officer can stand, nothing I can do. You tied my hands.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, let's do a Ferguson topic one day. Hey, Chuck, can you make it this Friday, you think?
Yeah, I'm off Friday, so just trying to think before I commit. Why? What's up?
Well, we've been doing this new thing, Fun Fridays, and it's actually a lot of fun. I'm having a blast with it. But David said I have to, since it's my deal, I have to announce it on Friday. I have to kind of lead it. And, you know, I think it would be a lot of fun if you could be there because I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell you right now, God knows what's going to happen on Friday's radio, but we're going to have fun, whatever it is. I mean, we decided it's going to be upbeat topics. We're not going to, unless something like seriously is, you know, breaking, we're going to do upbeat topics to start the weekend off on a positive foot. So we're just kind of random stuff lately. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so you should be here just to...
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Amanda. Go ahead.
I was just saying you should be here.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll do the best I can for sure. And so it's just going to be an open topic and upbeat topic. That's what we're shooting for. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I think it'll be
fun. So you got put in charge of that, huh? David just threw the old mic over and said, it's all you, girl, huh?
Yeah, he's going to be here, but he's like, but this was your idea, so, and you haven't participated in the last couple of them, so you're taking over on this one, and I'm like, yeah, I step back and throw the ideas to David and let him make them happen, or let him say yes or no, or whatever, and that backfired in my face this time, because he was like, this was your idea, and it's your turn to actually do something about it, so, yeah.
Are you even surprised? Are you surprised that's what he would do?
No, not at all. But he threw me into the bus on the air. So I'm like stuttering on the radio, like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, I don't care. It's your deal.
That was,
Hey, it's the old sink or swim thing. Throw them in the pool and you better
Absolutely.
Fucking...
Yes. But it did give me a week to prep.
When David announced that and Amanda was put on the spot, the radio show went totally fucking silent. You could have heard of it.
It's called silent radio, David. Silent radio, sir.
Right.
I mean,
well,
I almost
did not see that coming.
Because I wanted to have a blonde moment and put my glasses on to see if I missed something.
I guess that's
God.
A testament to that, that I did not expect that to happen. And then I was like cussing under my breath, are you effing kidding me? Like, really? But, you know, he did give me a week to prep. It's 2 days until, and I have nothing. I'm just saying. Like,
you'll figure it out. You'll do fine. You'll figure it out.
Well, yeah. You guys are going to be on here to help. That's why I asked you, Chuck. That way I
don't
have to. I can kind of sit back and be like, yep, I just threw y'all under the bus. Okay, guys, we are in overtime, and I hear my children again. So I will let you guys go. Chuck, thank you so much for calling in. We've missed you, and I'm glad you're back. And
thank you, Amanda.
David,
I appreciate that. Be back.
Oh, I'm so glad to have you back. David, thank you for calling.
Always.
And helping with the show for sure, because, again, I didn't know what we were going to do. But I appreciate you guys very much. I'm going to go ahead and hang up because I do have a screaming toddler. So
okay.
See
Take
you guys
care. Bye-bye.
Friday.
God bless.